Now we look at part three, that is the second reading. It begins chapter 9 of the letter to the Romans. Just perhaps a little bit to locate us. We've been working with Romans a long time, and we will continue for some time. The Lectio Continua in the middle, as I've explained before, goes its own way. So now we finish chapter 8, which is the high point, the goal of all the chapters 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, up to 8. There we have this treatise on the Holy Spirit, His presence in us, the love of God the Father for us, the inseparability between us and God. God will never separate Himself from us. If we want to be separate, we got to do it. We got to fight because He'll keep going after us. And so that's why at the end, what can separate us from the love of Christ? Persecution, nakedness, the sword, hunger. Nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, suddenly, we're in a whole other world. And we're going to be in one for a while now. His preoccupation, well, then what about the Jews? They were chosen. Yes, they were chosen. They still are chosen. And so we have this poignant testimony of Paul. And it's the Word of God. And so this is the truth. Aletheon lego in Christo, ub sevthome. I speak the truth in Christ. I'm not lying. That's pretty powerful, isn't it? You see? My conscience bears me witness in the Holy Spirit that there is great and doesn't let up sadness in my heart. He's telling the truth, huh? He loves His people. As much as they cause Him suffering, He loves them. And the love He has for His people is Christ's love for them. And so He's saying, you see, my conscience bears me witness that I'm not lying. You see, that there is this great sorrow and unremitting agony in my heart. And then He goes further. You see, I could I could pray, I desire, well just, you know, what? You see, that I be accursed and cut off from Christ for the sake of my own people. Does he mean he's willing to go to hell? What is he saying? To be without Christ. For me to live is Christ. Now, it's very important to grasp this insofar as we can. This is a saint. And he loves like a saint. That means there's no limit to his love. These are bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. They're resisting the preaching of the gospel, not every single one, but lots, the majority. And they have it in for him. He goes to preach to the Jews. He gives us that litany there in 2 Corinthians, right? 40 lashes less one, because you see, it should be 40, but in case the guy beating him loses track, because they're very careful about these things, 39. So in case you made a mistake, you're not going to exceed it, huh? They lay the guy down, he's stripped to the waist, and they whack him with this big thing, hard as they can, 40 times. He says, this happened to me twice. I've had a lot of suffering, but the greatest suffering in my life, you see, that I carry, is so great that by an impossibility, you know, the worst thing that could happen to me is to be without Christ. That's the worst thing that could happen to me. I would take it if it'll bring my people in. That's a saint. Now you see what drives Paul See, he's an intellectual, and he can be pushy, and so you forget there's a fire in his spirit of love. It's amazing. You know, even when he's talking in the Corinthian correspondence about, as we'll get to when we finish Romans, but this guy is sleeping with his stepmother. And Paul says, this doesn't even happen among the pagans, and now it's happening among the Christians? You know, I want to turn that guy over to Satan, that is, cut him out from the community. We wouldn't even notice if we were outside the community. Excommunicatio doesn't mean just a little paper. It means you cannot associate with the only living, real thing on the globe. That's what it means. If it would get this guy straightened up. But then he says, a little later on in the same letter, go easy. Show him love. Show him kindness. Win him back over. Because he is in a very dangerous position. He's in a state of very serious sin. If he were to die, he would be cut off from Christ. So win him back over. So here we have the other side of this, the anguish, okay? And so, you see, if I would cut off from Christ, if this could benefit the brothers who are my own flesh and blood. Of course, if you've ever lived in the Middle East, that still means a lot. I can remember the first time I met the cook where I was living, Abu, what was his name? It'll come back. The first thing they wanted to tell me was the man who shot Robert Kennedy was a distant relative. They didn't want me to find that out someplace else and have their disgrace in my eyes. And I thought, we would never do that. It would never occur. He's still bone by bone. He shot Robert Kennedy, but he's still part of our family. We have to acknowledge that. You see what I mean? Such a different mindset. So he's saying here, you see, I'd be cut off, you see, and from Christ, if this could benefit the brothers who are my own flesh and blood. Okay. That's his hurt. Now he goes on to meditate on who they are. You see? They are Israelites, you see. Israeliti. That means what? They have been the island where the Word of God dwelt for a millennium. The only ones who knew and worshipped the one true God in the whole world by the call of Abraham and the mercy of God. Every prophet had to say, stop worshipping Baal, stop doing, because they were wandering off. But the people, as a people, held fast. There is only one true God. Shema Yisrael Adonai Elohecha, Adonai Echad. Listen, Israel, Adonai is your God, Adonai Echad. Alone, one, Echad, he's one. Vahavta, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, b'kol levavcha, b'kol nafshecha, b'kol moedecha, with your whole heart, all your affections, with all your nafshecha, all your energy, all your mind, your nefesh, your soul, kol moedecha, all your money, all your friends, everything, all your strength, you know? They tell a beautiful story. I know, but I'm trying to create what he's saying about them. It's Rabbi Akiba. And the Romans had passed a law, you cannot teach the law in the southern part of the country. Maybe the whole country, but then I forgot. After the Bar Kokhba rebellion. Because studying this law is what gives them this idea that there's something special, and they start another revolution. So they can't teach the law. So his disciple, what are you going to do, Rabbi Akiva? He says, oh, look. A fox walked along the brook, and he saw a fish. And he said to the fish, "You're underwater all the time. Why don't you come out here where there's some air and sunshine, you see?" And the fish said, "If I go out there, I'll die. So it is with me. My water is the Torah. If I stop teaching Torah, I'll die." So they caught him, and they put him on the gridiron. They're burning him to death. Comes the moment to sing the Shema, that Shema Yisrael, the thing I just recited. So he's singing. He says, "You shall love the Lord your God, b'kol levavecha, with all your heart, b'kol nafshecha, all your soul, b'kol mevodecha." They say, Rabotai, now you're going to sing that? He said, "All my life, I wondered what it meant to love the Lord with all my soul. Now I know." You see? So it's this that Paul is talking about. You see? They have the covenants to Abraham through Moses. You see, they have the covenants. God makes, and God is faithful to them. How many times in the Psalms do we sing, "Ki lo olam chasdo," because his hesed is forever. We try to translate it, "His love is everlasting," but his hesed, as I think I've said about a million times already, means enthusiastic fidelity to the covenant. God never broke the covenant. In fact, as John Paul II said at a talk in a synagogue at Mainz, the covenant has never been revoked. It's been fulfilled, but it's never been revoked. And so we're waiting for the Jewish brethren with all these privileges to come and enter into their inheritance. You see? And that's what he's saying there. They were given the law. What a privilege. This is how to live. You know how powerful law is? Maybe I can remember before the integration of the schools and the busing and all those things, which probably were, you know, but what was the difference? There was a law now that you cannot discriminate against African Americans. That changed the whole ethos of the country. Law is formative, you see? That's why the Supreme Court has got to make laws that are in keeping with the truth and in keeping with human nature, which is not what they did with Roe v. Wade. Okay? The worship of God and the promises. They've been living by these promises. You know, remember how St. Luke describes Simeon? He was waiting for the consolation of Israel. The Christ. And the Holy Spirit was on him. And he came into the temple. And so, he's saying, you see, the law, the worship, the promises, the patriarchs. You remember, I think I already spoke about how one of the prayers, remember Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Remember the patriarchs, the zakut, the merits of the patriarchs. It's all theirs. And from them, according to the flesh, is the Christ, who is over all, God blessed forever.